This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com.
Episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 101.
101. This is like your 26th birthday. It's like one of those like utterly meaningless things after a significant milestone. 101, right?
I mean,
there's Dalmatians, I guess.
I'm thinking of the Honey Bun song from
Pounds of Fun.
101 yep. Episodes of fun. That's our little show of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll take it. Anyway, it is episode 101 of the Family Gamers Podcast. I am your host, Andrew, and as always, I am joined by my lovely, amazing, wonderful, and singing wife, Anitra.
That's me. But we have other guests today.
We do. It's an odd-numbered episode, and we are not changing what we're doing on our odd-numbered episodes. This week, we have on the show the group from One Board Family. We have Ryan and Aaron Gutowski, and we even have the agent of chaos himself, Rick White, on the line. How's everybody doing today?
We are doing very well.
Doing great.
I was doing awesome until I was compared to a 26th birthday, and now I just don't know how I feel anymore.
Look, the birthday party is great. It's just the meaning of the birthday
that's not
so great.
That's true.
It's okay. I'm meaningless. Everything's fine.
Well, hold it. Don't you get a discount on your auto insurance around that time?
Well, that's once you turn 25, right?
That's so the 20, true. That's true.
It's the auto insurance and it's the ability to rent a car.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny. We've got some friends that got married when he was, I think he was 19 and she was like,
21
I forget,
or something.
21 or something. And they couldn't even rent a car. They were like, but we're married.
That's we funny. Are responsible adults now.
Yeah, you can rent a car. It just costs you a lot more money and
a whole lot more
you
money.
Have to find
that's
the
why
right
you
place.
Just steal them
but
instead.
But anyway. It's one of those it's
thank
always
you.
Easier to say I'm sorry than
exactly.
ask permission.
All right, thank you, Rick.
All right, awesome. Well, this is the family show.
Yeah, car thing.
So on episode 99, we were capitalizing on the moment, and we had our friend Steven Dutzman on from Engage Family Gaming because E3 was right around the corner for him. And that was a few weeks ago. As luck would have it, as actually I think it usually does, E3 was the same week as Origins.
Yes.
Origins, the awesome and amazing board game conference that we really have to go to sometime, darling.
Someday.
But the One Board Family crew did get to go to Origins. And so I reached out to Ryan and said, listen, numbered episode, you guys are at Origins. I was living vicariously through you. And also I was jealous of you guys. You got to come on the show. Please, 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 please. And Ryan said, fine, stop saying that. And so you guys are here. Thanks for coming on the show to talk about Origins.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, this was, it's funny. This is our first time at Origins and for all three of us. And it was just, it was an overwhelming experience to be able to see everything and kind of take it all in. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah. I mean, So we went to PAX Unplugged last year, and we were talking before the show started about kind of Unplugged and Origins and how they relate to each other. And we also kind of threw Gen Con in the mix. And so basically we've got Gen Con is the big mother, and Origins is kind of the step down chill, and then PAX Unplugged is sort of a step down from that. Although, given how well PAX Unplugged went last year, I expect it to continue to grow.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll be at Unplugged this coming year, and you guys can be jealous of us in the same way that we were jealous of you.
Yep.
So
we definitely will be. PAX, we heard nothing but good things from people who did attend PAX Unplugged.
Right. It was pretty fun. I mean, one of these days we'll actually like have to be in the same place at the same time. That would be
definitely. You
know. That would be great.
And the podcast world will explode.
Yes. Right. Exactly. The one board family gamers.
What? Crossover of the century.
It would be amazing.
Better than
a 3-hour show that just randomly
done.
Cuts in the middle. So, all right. So let's talk about Origins. I mean, why don't we do this? So I'm going to guess here based on what I saw from you guys' Facebook page and your social media stuff that like Pioneer Days was the game for you guys.
It was
at Origins.
I think for Aaron and I, I think we were surprised by how much we liked it.
Yes.
Because, and it's funny because we just played Pioneer Days with a friend of ours. And I think like an hour ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So I think that Pioneer Days does what Oregon Trail could not do. Like even every iteration of Oregon Trail that I've seen mm-hmm. and the way that people have tried to game it, Pioneer Days did that.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful game. The mechanics work really well mm-hmm. and there's enough challenge to keep it coming to the table. And I think that impressed us a lot because really I knew nothing about it other than I like the artwork and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that gives me some comfort because, you know, pardon my ignorance, but I literally know nothing about this game. I don't know yes. who designed it. I don't know who published it. Was it released at Origins or is this a game that's been around for a little while?
Like, so TMG released it.
Give me the shtick on this game.
Yeah. So TMG released it. Tasty Minstrel Games released it, I think a little while before Origins. I think, but that was that was actually one of their big pushes. If you looked around on in their booth, they had, Chimera Station in one area. Mm-hmm. Then they had Pioneer Days, and then they had one other game on demo. Mm-hmm. And so I think what was so impressive about it, we checked out Chimera Station, but I was like, I really want to try Pioneer Days. And in fact, the box, I saw the box online, but sometimes when you see just the artwork and stuff like that, you don't get a sense of scale. I thought it was kind of a smaller game, whereas the box is kind of like the size of Castles of Burgundy. Okay, that's the size box that we're talking
sure.
about. So,
it was really funny because it did really well at Origins, and when Ryan and I demoed it, it was what the last day.
Saturday.
It was Saturday. Yeah, the last day that we were there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when we demoed it, it initially seemed a lot more complicated than it actually ended up being. It took us a while to play through the first time. But the time since then that we've played it, it's moved really fast. Yeah. And we actually bought the very last copy that they had at Origins.
Oh, wow.
I asked the guy to kind of hide it for us because we just really weren't sure. But even before we finished the game, we were like, yes, we have to get this. And so we bought the last copy. And people were even coming up after that wanting it. And the guy was like, oh, we're all sold out. So sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were doing like the little fist bump under the
table.
Oh,
yeah. Like, yes. Oh, yeah. For sure.
It was definitely. And I think it was reassuring that Saturday morning, actually yesterday morning, we played it with our 10-year-old daughter. And after we got done playing, she said, do you think we could play this again tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
no,
I don't know.
That's good.
So maybe. And so to know that our daughter was so in tune with like the mechanics of it, really enjoyed collecting cattle and, mm-hmm. you know, collecting medicine to make sure that you're offsetting like the townspeople, make sure that sickness doesn't hit them. It's really cool. It's a great game.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, that was actually going to be my next question is the kind of the age range on that game.
I'm forgetting.
You said your 10-year-old played it and liked it.
Yeah, Aaron's going to grab it.
Where is she on the board game spectrum? Is she ahead of the normal age range or?
So, yeah, Kendall, our 10-year-old, is actually ahead of the rest of our kids, honestly, game-wise.
Sure.
She gets mechanics very quickly. She connects with games pretty easily. She's our little gamer kid.
Age on it actually says 14+.
It's a 14+, which...
I mean, there's a lot going on at one time. It's got the same components, sort of like we were talking about before with Oregon Trail, where you want to make sure that, you know, your townspeople that you have are immune to disease, that you're cattle don't face famine and die, that you don't get raided. Like, there's all of these different components of the game going on that you want to make sure that you're safe from, but you also want to build up your livestock and build up your money and things like that. So there's a lot to think about. Mm-hmm. But I think if, you know, like with our 10-year-old, she's used to gaming. So she's kind of up to that level, but I think 10-year-olds,
I think 10, 11
catch on. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that a 10-year-old would get the take that, because there is a take that mechanic where, you're actually choosing to choose, you're choosing dice that have different symbols on them to get perks. Well, one of the mechanics in the game is to allow one die to be passed over so that it causes a certain tragedy, whether it's famine for your cows or whether it's disease for your townspeople, whether it's being raided and losing half your money or your carriage breaking down. And I think that I don't know that she's on the level of saying, oh, well, I'm going to purposefully leave this one because I know it hurts so-and-so at the table. Whereas today when we played it with our friend, that's exactly where we were at. We were like, oh, you got all those cows, but I see you don't have any money. I'm going to leave this die, and all those cows are dying.
Yes.
I see. Uh-huh. So it's that multi-level strategy that your 10-year-old not there yet, but that's perfectly understandable. Mm-hmm. Have you, only because you mentioned it, have you played Chimera Station before?
Not before Origins.
Yeah.
But you played it at Origins?
Yes. Yeah. We liked it. The components were great, but it was, I think, a deeper game than I expected, because the amount of, it is a simple worker placement game, but there's a lot of little things that you need to watch for.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, definitely.
And you'd say Pioneer Days was less complicated than Chimera Station?
Definitely.
Okay. Because our 7-year-old, who was 6 at the time, played Chimera Station at Unplugged last year.
Wow.
And I mean, he wasn't, you know, tearing up the board or anything.
To be fair, it was just him and me, and we were both brand new at it. So a 2-player game of that is going to be less complicated to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we were both really into it and not really playing it for winning, but just playing it for trying the whole thing out and trying the experience, and he loved it. So if it's less complicated than that, I think our kids will probably
enjoy. Yeah, I think you'll be good.
Pioneer Days, the more that we've played it, the quicker it gets. We played a game in 45 minutes today.
Yeah.
You know, which was a really good, I feel like it moved at a good pace, and at no point did we say, when is this game going to end?
Cool. Awesome. So let's see. I mean, I definitely steered the conversation directly into that game because you guys talked about it so much. But talk a little bit about, if you could, the Origins experience altogether, right? So we sort of talked about how it's big and there's a lot to take in, but it's also not, you know, the insanity of Gen Con.
Yeah. So Rick, why don't you, I think Aaron and I have talked quite a bit. Rick, you want to take that one, man?
Sure. Yeah. I think what was interesting to me is it compared in my brain to other trade shows I've seen where, like, you know, businesses set up a little booth and things like that. And you're supposed to walk around and talk with them and get an idea of their product. The difference here is that in those cases, usually you're figuring out what their product is and, you know, might be leaving in 1 or 2 minutes. But with a board game, you might be dedicating, you know, the entire time to playing out this board game. So when I first walked in, you could see, you know, this giant floor laid out with all these companies. And I was like, okay, yeah, like I'll probably get to see all these in a day. No, silly rabbit.
Yeah.
Like that didn't come close. I probably saw 60% of what I wanted to see. Over the course of the, you know, days that we were there, 4, 3, I don't even remember anymore. It all blurred together. But yeah, there was a part when we first started, when we first got there, Wednesday, when we were all rushing to get our hands on some of the more rare board games that were going to be there. That was a pretty fun experience. I know if you think Black Friday shopping, but like nicer, that's kind of what we experienced. I went for a run to pick up Junk Orbit, which it turned out wasn't such a necessary thing. There were plenty of copies of that laying around. But Aaron and Ryan had the more interesting fight to the death story. Okay, maybe not fight to the death, but more interesting stories of getting their hands on stuff.
So Aaron yeah, actually, I'll welcome to.
We knew what we were going for, mm-hmm. and we had looked at the map, and we knew like which aisle and where to go. And so Rick and Ryan were headed in one direction, and I was headed in the other direction. And, you know, they opened the doors right at 10 o'clock. And, you know, they had media up there taking pictures or whatever.
Can I pause you for a second? Because I want to tell the audience what it looked like for Ryan to be really excited to get his hands on stuff and trying to play it cool. But, when they were like, okay, guys, we're getting ready. Ryan got in essentially a sprinter's position.
Did.
I mean, I could have gotten the man some blocks to get down in. And Ryan's a pretty big dude, so he can't do stuff subtly. So, everybody see, this guy is about to take off. As soon as they said, y'all can come on in, Ryan was gone. Whoa.
It's a little scary. Ryan's 6'6", and he looks like a football player, and if he's coming at you, it looks a little scary.
So people were like kind of starting to edge up, but then they saw Ryan, and they were like, I'm going to get behind this fellow. I don't want to have anything to do with that.
So,
Aaron, you could just kind of jog behind Ryan as he clears the way, Moses through the Red Sea. Nice. Yes.
It was pretty awesome.
So Rick and Ryan went off in one direction, and I went off in the other direction like a stampede. It was almost like a stampede. And so I couldn't find the – I was looking for Welcome To, and they were – what booth were they, Ryan?
Deep Water Games.
And so I knew where they were supposed to be, but they weren't there. I couldn't find them. I was looking, and I was even asking other people, do you know where this is? Because they only had 25 copies to give away.
Each day, allotted 25.
Right, exactly. And so I'm running around. Well, finally, I see it. And I was a little frustrated because we were one of the first ones in there. But by the time I got there, the line was already wrapped around where Deepwater Games was. And I said, oh, you've got to be kidding me. This is terrible. So I said, I'm just going to jump in line anyway, just to see. I was for sure that there were definitely already 25 people there. So I jump in the line, and the lady has little tickets that she's handing out to the first 25 people. And I see her coming. I thought, well, great. She's going to run out right before me. She gave me the last ticket. She said, you are the last one. And she made me hold a sign that said end of the line. She made me hold the sign. So
it was nuts.
I felt so bad. And this one dude came up behind me, and he was like, oh, man. He was like, I'm just going to stand here just to see. He was like, I'm getting this for my mom. And I didn't know if he said that because he thought I might let him have my spot. I was like, no, dude, I'm sorry.
I'm getting this for my kids.
Yeah, I was like, my husband really wants this game. I didn't say that.
I'm getting this for our viewers.
Yeah, it was great.
That's funny. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And Ryan and I experienced the wrap around line madness that was a Plan B Games, right? Yeah. Is that
Plan B? The Plan B booth. So they had Reef. They had a limited amount of copies of Reef, which is a great game. And then they had, of course, Century, Eastern Wonders, which is the sequel, the follow up to Century Spice Road. And so they had.
And then what was the other one you got?
Cornbread.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so those games were kind of on the top of the list for a lot of people. And it's funny because three of the top 10 games came from the Plan B booth. And so I was actually there. I had money from a coworker that really wanted two of these games. I personally really, really wanted Reef, and especially for the site. And so I said, Rick, you need to stand here because if they're limiting me to one or two games, I need you to be a pack mule with me, you know? So
sure, absolutely.
I ended up giving them some cash and we ended up working through it and getting everything that we needed. But it was a madhouse. And in fact, security, there's a Facebook video that was going around, on some of the board game Facebook pages, but there's this video of security coming in there and having to tighten up the line because the thing was wrapping around the booth and then up the aisle and causing traffic jams for everybody.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that has happened before at I've seen that kind of thing at a PAX East, which is a little bit more
yeah.
of the crazy zany crowd kind of thing. Unplugged was just not like that
yeah.
at all.
Oh, no, yeah.
not at all.
My favorite part of the line waiting was Tom Vassell walking by and going, oh, I knew it was going to be crazy, but I didn't know it was going to be this crazy. I wanted to be like, yes, us peasants have to wait in lines. On that. I apologize that
well,
we have
and
to
Ryan might be the only person I know that could almost look Tom Vassell in the eye. So
yes, yes. He's a little shorter. Actually, shout out to Tom Vassell. We sat behind him at the Origin Awards. He spun around. And he's sitting at this little press desk area along with some other people that were watching and taking photos and stuff. And he spins around and he says, all right, let's take some bets. And he starts talking to us about, like, who do we think is going to win each category of the Origin Awards? It was just so cool to have this discussion with him. And by the way, I predicted Gloomhaven to take Game of the Year. And he was like, no way. Know how it's big on the internet, but it's not big enough within store. So it was interesting that like we sat there and debated this for a second. Really cool dude. Really cool. So,
didn't Gloomhaven
yeah,
win? Yeah. yeah.
I mean, I think those groups are kind of merging a fair bit, right?
Yes.
The internet and then the in-store thing. I mean,
yeah.
Stores have to know what's going on
yeah.
On the net in order to remain relevant,
yeah.
basically. So I think that there's a little bit more merging there. And we all know how Tom feels about your friendly local game store. Just kidding. if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's probably better
yeah,
than
Google it. There's plenty of internet boards that'll fill you in.
But beyond the whole crazy madness of waiting in line to pick up games, you know, once that madness was over, I think, you know, each of us had a moment of experiencing kind of like being overwhelmed with everything that was going on. I had a moment where I was Aaron and Ryan went to go try Chimera Station. I was kind of getting some footage for the website, and then I realized there was a game I wanted to pick up a copy for. My wife had stayed with her matron of honor down in Dayton. That's where they live now. So I was wanting to get a game for their family. And so I walked over there and realized they were only taking cash. So I had to walk over to Ryan and then walk back and pick it up. And then like in that time, I walked by probably 20, 25 things that I wanted to check out. And I started to get like anxious about like, I need to try this now. Like
yeah.
it never hit my mind. Like they're going to be here all weekend. You don't have to freak out. But it was just so overwhelming in that I don't usually suffer from the fear of missing out as strongly as I did when we first started. It calmed down after an hour or two, but just, you know, that process of walking from booth to booth, like it took 20 minutes for me to walk through all of that and seeing so many games, so many things that were interesting, so many things I wanted to make sure I checked out.
Yeah.
It was definitely overwhelming for that first day.
So that's kind of a reminder for us now that Toys R Us is going away, I suppose. It's less of a big deal, but that's what it's like for kids going through Toys
oh,
R
yeah.
Us. It's the exact same thing.
It really
this.
Is.
Right?
I want to see this.
Yeah. So, I agree with you. I remember, you know, years ago, I made reference to PAX East, but when I used to go to PAX East every year, and I've more or less stopped doing that, by the end of even the first day, I was absolutely exhausted because my brain was going 700 million miles an hour trying to take in everything that was
yeah.
happening. And I feel you, Rick. I really do.
I will tell you that on Friday, it was interesting. Friday night, I kind of lost wind because Thursday, the exhibitor booths, I think Wednesday was the most chill day. Aaron and I just got to play games. We got to see what I really like about the way Origins was set up. And I know some people have complained about the setup this year versus previous years, but I really like the fact that some exhibits have chosen to set up booths and areas where you could actually purchase things and try their games in the play areas. So Ares Games was out there. You had WizKids represented out there. You had
Queen Games was out there.
You know, you had a lot of different booths that had chosen not to go just in the exhibitor hall and actually set up in other areas. And I really like that because Wednesday, it was such a chill walk around, see what's going on, learn stuff. Cool Mini or Not was CMON was set up. They had this huge area, didn't have any presence in the exhibitor hall. Mm-hmm. I think they did a really good job of balancing that stuff out, because Wednesday we got to see kind of the preview of what the exhibitor hall was going to give us on Thursday.
Right.
But Friday, I will tell you, Friday, I think probably after dinner or around that time, I remember sitting out in one of the hallway areas and sitting next to this lady who was eating some pizza, and I was just like, I'm exhausted. And she was like, yeah, I've only been here one day and I'm exhausted. I was like, I think that my brain wasn't handling everything as well as I thought it was, because I would go to one booth, I'd turn around and I'd see something else, and I'd immediately flip out and say, how am I going to get my hands on this or play this? And in fact, on the way home, we're driving home Sunday, and Aaron was driving for the most part out of Ohio. And I'm looking at my phone and I'm like, here are six games that I never even saw, and they were all there. And I had them on a list, and I missed them, you know?
That's depressing.
Yeah. Oh, you even had them on a list, and you still missed them.
Still missed them, you know, which is crazy. Mm-hmm.
But I would say, you know, part of that is also the result of us finding games that we had maybe seen and stuff, but, like, weren't on our radar and being incredibly blown away by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the one that sticks out to me was Senshi.
Yeah.
Which Aaron ended up picking up, and I think Aaron probably fell in love with that game the most of all of us.
Yes, even though I've still never won it. But it's a lot of fun and very fast paced. Yeah. So even though the guy didn't give us all of the ways to win, mm-hmm. like
it wasn't the best description that I've ever received for how to play a game.
And it was really fast. But we did end up buying that. And it's one of those, I'm not going to compare it to Deep Sea Adventure because it's not half as good, but it's one of those that you can just throw in your bag and take with you anywhere. Yeah. And you can play a game in, you know, less than 10 minutes. And so, and it gets a lot of people involved. And so it's a lot of fun. But
yeah. It's Arcane Wonders.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because Friday at work, we had a little lunch at work, and I said, you know, I wonder if I can get my coworkers. I think my coworkers are very hesitant to try board games. And I've heard them say, one of them just openly was like, oh, board games. Yeah, I think I'm going to go. And so I brought Senshi up there and I said, listen, give it a try. And we sat down and immediately we finished two games within 30 minutes, and people were like, that was good. They were like, I would definitely play that again.
It's one of those games that's addictive that right as soon as you end it, you're like, we've got to play again.
Right.
It's
for us.
Yeah.
You think about, like, I could have done this and this. Yep. Like, next time, this is going to be my strategy adjustment. Yeah.
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 And it's one of those games where you feel like somebody came up with it with just stuff sitting around. Yeah. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got this old piece of broccoli and a nickel. I wonder if I can make a game out of it. Yeah. So.
Yes. I don't know where the broccoli came in, but somehow it's involved.
Yeah.
One thing I will say that we learned this time that we'll take with us next time, Ryan and I decided to buy the boardroom ribbon.
Yeah.
And so we spent $20 a piece, and I think Rick would have done it too if they still had any left when he'd gotten there. But really what it is it's $20 and it gives you unlimited access to the board game collection of, what's their name, Ryan?
It's basically like the Columbus Board Game Society.
Right.
You know, they have this curated gaming library that they bring every year. Mm-hmm. It's a great game library.
Oh, yeah. It really is. It really is. They had a ton of stuff that we wanted to try out. But the thing is, it's really an area in the back of the exhibitor hall.
In the back of one of the gaming halls.
One of the gaming halls. And so it's designated just for that. So you walk in there, you ask for a game, you give them your driver's license so that you don't steal the game. And they give it to you and then you just play it. And so, in theory, that's great. But we were told, don't waste your money. And we thought, I think we need it, mm-hmm. you know. And we ended up really not needing it at all. In fact, we just
went in there twice.
And it was really just to get our money's worth, I feel like. But we still didn't. We didn't stay very long because there was so much to see and do and demo that you really didn't have the time just to go in there and game.
Rick was right that he only saw 60%. Of what, and I would mm-hmm. say that's an accurate percentage.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because there's something very similar to that actually both at PAX East and at PAX Unplugged, and it's probably the same collection.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's free.
Yeah,
right.
I mean it's not the same collection like the Columbus whatever. But it's probably the Penny Arcade people have this giant collection that they ship around to each convention or something.
Yep.
Right. And it's the same idea though. You go up and you sign a game out and you give them your license and all that stuff, but it doesn't cost anything.
And I think, you know, if I wasn't, you know, attending Atlanta Game Fest or Gamerama up here, you know, 2-3 times a year, that might have appealed to me because that is what that is. Yeah. It's just a Game Fest inside of Origins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Czech Games Edition, Rio Grande Games, CMON, all three of those had their games out to where you could play them until like 9 or 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, if I wanted to just play something that was older, like I played Dungeon Lords, at one point, during the week, and that's an older game that, you know, not huge on the radar, but I was like, I haven't tried this out. I'm pretty interested. And so I just sat down at the Czech Games Edition, tables and we played it. And so I think there are so many options for getting to sit down and play a game that, you can definitely not have to play something older or mm-hmm. like, you know, Ryan got his hands on Reef and we played that 3 or 4 times over the weekend, you know, when we just got home and wanted to relax a little bit before going to bed, you know, hey, you know, we've had a game full of playing games, a day full of playing games. Why don't we play some more games to just kind of wind down?
Exactly.
So that's how you know it's a hobby you truly love.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Right. Or you have an addiction. One of those two.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's true.
A little bit.
So, okay. So slight pause. Dungeon Lords. Is that the one where you're building the dungeon and allocating the monsters and stuff? And
yes.
Like it's, yeah, that.
Yeah, that was the one that Dave was telling.
Yeah,
us about
our writer Dave was telling you about it on the last show, right? Okay, cool. And you like that game?
It was pretty good. I don't know that I would ever purchase it. I'd probably play it again. But I'm glad I played it. I'm not going to be screaming, you know, the way that, you know, I might be about Reef or Ryan and Aaron might be about Pioneer Days to kind of force everybody to play it. But I'd play it again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we have a board game convention up here that Anitra has gone to twice. She went last year, and then the whole family went this year, called Granite Game Summit up in New Hampshire. And basically
wonderful. It's super chill.
Yeah, it's just playing games, right? There's a couple of vendors,
there's a few people demoing their games that are about to hit Kickstarter or are still in development or whatever, but it's really just about a bunch of people getting together to play games. And they have their own board game library that belongs to the group that runs the convention, but in that case, they actually just encourage everybody who's coming, bring some games and set them out on the table and like label them so we know they're yours.
Right.
And
so what they do is that probably the main, there's two game, like at least last year there were two game rooms. Probably the main room was like 80 by 100 feet or something like that. I don't know. It was a big room, and they line all of the outer walls with tables, and you basically take your stack of games that you've brought and you put it there and you make a list of all of your games, and it's the honor system basically.
Yeah.
But by crowdsourcing the game library, it was a phenomenal game library.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a cool experience. I was paranoid because I don't trust anybody with my stuff.
Yeah.
but it was really a neat experience. And it is really rewarding to go to a convention and know that you have a significant amount of time to check out games and sit down and play games that you don't own and maybe will never own.
Yeah.
Just to find out if they're games that you do want to own, or at least check that box that it's a game that you've played.
Yeah.
That.
Well, in that case, it's also neat to walk by and be like, hey, somebody's playing the game that I brought.
Yeah.
I hope they like it.
Right. definitely. And well, in those situations too, you find games that maybe are even older, like that you probably wouldn't see at Origins on the game floor because, you know, it's past its time. For me, that game at Atlanta Game Fest, and of course we're going out of Origins, but I picked up a copy of a game called Kinexi, which I featured a couple times on our Instagram feed, but it's basically where you take letters and you connect them to build like a tower and you try to spell words in the way they're connected. I just saw the box sitting up there. I was like, this looks really cool. And so I broke it out and played it. I loved it. And now I own it. So those are always really cool ways to be able to do that.
Yeah. I will tell you, Rick mentioned earlier Rio
that's right.
Grand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah. That's right.
You're not about to reveal the big secret, are you? Because we're trying to keep this so that nobody else knows.
Yeah, but I think we should share the secret.
Okay, fine.
So we screwed up and didn't figure this out earlier or ask around. But they have this year, and apparently in previous years, they did the same thing. They have this space where they have a bunch of their games set out. You can come and play. You know, lots of games set up.
It's a pretty large space.
It's a large space.
Yeah.
And people are coming around and checking, hey, do you need any rules, clarification? Do you need me to teach you anything? And you could just free play with other people, whatever you want to do. All of a sudden, me and Rick are walking past and we're looking at, okay, what games are available that have open seats? We should just jump in. And there's a line of people waiting to get food. And it's in this open space. And Rick and I immediately, like, how do we get that food? Like,
how do we become important to get
in this
line?
In our mind, there's a whole nother game to have. How do I get that food? So we start playing. We start asking everybody, hey, how do we get the food over there? And nobody can tell us how or why the food is being served. So Rick and I jump in line, like two gentlemen who like to game and eat. And we got sliders and Pepsi and homemade chips, and they were good.
And Ryan even got a chicken sandwich for me.
Chicken sandwich
and I wasn't
for
even
you.
There.
Yeah. Well, and it turns out that they've apparently been doing this for years where they just give out food, and it's nice food. It wasn't like, you know, here's some ding-dongs. It was like a legit meal. And I don't know if you guys have been around the board gaming community a lot, but that can get expensive really fast. Yeah. Board gamers, I've seen put away some food, man.
Usually bring it with them. They don't put it away.
Yeah.
But, well, that's true. But yeah, that was really super nice. So we'll keep that on the agenda for next year, most certainly.
Don't tell anybody.
I'll do my best.
Well, it's just between you and us.
Yes.
Well, there were parts of Origins we didn't even get to. I mean, I am personally not into the role playing game part yet. It's not for like I hate it or anything. I just haven't gotten into it, but there was role-playing games everywhere that we didn't even check out. The Unpub Room, we went in a couple times, but there were people showing off their unpublished games in there. The whole convention center was taken up. I mean, there was on Saturday, we ended up parking in a different spot and coming in through a different entrance and finding like all this other stuff that was going on that I was like, I had no idea all these things were happening. But it was.
And then you get retroactive FOMO.
Yeah.
Yes.
The worst feeling.
What have I been missing this whole time?
I missed all this stuff. What was here yesterday? I didn't even know if it was the same booths.
Who knows? But it was a really great experience. And I do think, you know, I tried my very best to lower my expectations of what I'd be able to accomplish this year, simply because I was like, this has to be a learning year.
Yeah.
Like next year is going to be great because like, I know what I need to do now, you know, I know a better approach to how to balance, you know, I mean, because we're there as press, we're there to work and to get some content for our website and for our podcast and everything. But also, you know, if this is still a hobby that we do, you know, the games excite us. And so trying to find the balance between reporting on it and playing games and, you know, being able to demo stuff that we really want to check out and figuring out things that, you know, maybe our audience wants to hear and things like that. So I think next year is going to be great to be able to do that.
Yeah.
This was our first con, so we really didn't have anything to compare it to. But I do want to say something that I think the three of us really noticed was that everyone had such a friendly, welcoming attitude. Everyone that we came across, people were really polite and inclusive and welcoming. And it was just, you just felt good to be there. People were excited to game. You're all kind of excited about the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't witness any, you know, anyone acting with a bad attitude or out of sorts or anything.
Yeah, for the most part, I think people were willing to teach. People were willing to help.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't understand something, I think that people were understanding of it. I think one of the things that Erin had a concern with going in was that that she wouldn't catch on to something when somebody was teaching it, because we have had those instances where we sit down at a friendly local game store and some random person is trying, not necessarily ours, but like when we travel, somebody's trying to teach us a game and you ask a question and they're immediately frustrated with you.
Right.
You know, we've had those incidents.
Yeah.
Or somebody doesn't teach it right and then they get angry because you asked another type of question. And so there was some concern, is this going to be like this? But I think everybody we ran into, people who were doing the demo, running demos, just people that you got to sit down with. We picked up Century Spice Road and I wanted to teach Erin how to play and we sat down with two other guys and we just had a blast just hanging out and getting to know these two guys while we played on Wednesday in the gaming, in the boardroom area. And it was just so cool to know that we're all in this hobby together, that we can have these experiences and then go our separate ways and just have fun, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, I really have been very encouraged anytime I've gone to any large gathering of board gamers, whether it's been something like we've made reference to Boston Fig, which is a board game and video game show, really, for independent.
I was gonna say it's like a trade game show. Developers. If absolutely no one was making money off
right.
of it.
Gotcha.
I mean, there are some there's a couple publishers
there's a few, but
I mean, it's
an involuntary nonprofits show.
Yeah, I mean, you can basically it's an unpub show is more or less what it is. But unpub is apparently exclusively in the Midwest. But I digress. Anyway, you know, anything from that all the way up to something like a PAX Unplugged, which is I guess the biggest board game convention that we've been to. Yeah, the community is really just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's really awesome to be a part of it, it's really really fun. To meet people. And you said it's your first con. Once you start going to more and more of these events and like seeing people that you know, it's kind of like it's a family reunion in some ways. It's really weird to describe it like that, but it absolutely is. And especially with the internet and with social media and stuff, you can have that long distance communication and then you get to meet somebody or see somebody that you haven't seen for a year, but you've been talking to online for the intervening time. That's one of my favorite things about conventions and going back to conventions that I've been to before or going to another convention in a geographic area where I can see some of the same people.
Yeah.
And I know you'll enjoy that too.
Just being able to connect with people on Twitter after this has been so cool, connecting with just different people, a guy named Jacob in Germany, and talking back and forth on Twitter after we got to play a game in
poor Jacob. He met us in rare form.
Yeah, playing. He met us when we were a little tired and a little crazy. So, but yeah, I mean, it was, we had a really great time and it's going to be fun to be able to go next year and see if we can put into practice some of the things that we learned from this first year.
So, let's talk about that. Can you talk about some of the things that you really took away as things to remember about going to Origins in the future? Because, you know, we've got listeners who are close enough that if they think that they can make it work with their families, they might be interested in going to a show like that. And they'd probably be more interested in something like Origins than they would in something like Gen Con. So now that you've been and you've had some of these experiences, what kinds of things are you going to keep track of and bring with you as information for next year?
I want to start.
Go for it.
Well, I want to start by getting Ryan to start, and I'll just say Airbnb. Go ahead. Oh,
man. You're going to bring this up?
Okay. Did you not have a great experience?
Okay, listen.
We did.
We will not.
It was not that bad. Not
name the Airbnb because we are very grateful.
Yeah.
The price of the Airbnb, it was 2 miles away from the convention center.
It was clean.
Clean. Great.
There was enough room.
Very hospitable. We went to the Airbnb. All the pictures were very accurate.
And of the
Airbnb place itself.
Of the building.
The surroundings were never pictured. And we pulled into a dirt road behind some houses.
Past the railroad tracks.
Literally under the railroad tracks, right. Type of like, oh, this is whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
Oh, there's the railroad
tracks. And if you want to talk about the phrase on the other side of the tracks, it fulfilled it perfectly.
Yes. when Ryan and I were getting there on Tuesday evening, we had the address pulled up on Google Maps, and I thought, I didn't say it out loud because Ryan had picked out the place, and he was like, hey, look at this. Is this okay with you? And I was like, oh, yeah, I trust you, whatever. But as we were driving there, we made a few turns, and I was like, oh, no.
What's happening? Oh, no.
And I didn't say anything to him because whatever, like, it was surprising. It was just surprising where it was located. Rick, do you want to say a little bit about?
Well, I got there Wednesday night before Aaron and Ryan had gotten back from the convention center because Sarah and I did a bunch of national park stuff. We made it into kind of our mini vacation for the summer and got to see some really cool stuff. But I got there, sat in the car for about 15 minutes, and I think I saw three different illegal things happen while I was waiting on Aaron. I was like, I think I texted Sarah, like, this is where I am. If you don't hear from me by tomorrow, like, I'm dead. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad.
There was an alarm system.
But just in the future, we'll say, like, can we see pictures of the neighborhood? And then, like, they're going to get really random questions because it'll be like, do you have locks on your bathroom doors? That will be another question that we send to the Airbnb host.
We had to announce every time we were going to the bathroom or taking a shower, hey, we're in here.
Everyone! Just get really noisy.
That's funny. Yeah. I think when we went to Unplugged, we had a similar Airbnb experience. It wasn't quite as bad, but it definitely took us a solid 45 minutes to get the smell of pot out of the bedroom we were sleeping in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, look, these things happen. When you're trying to save a couple bucks, this is kind of what happens,
right?
Good.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
We spent less than half of what some of the other people spent that were attending the same conference. So.
Oh, yeah. Staying in the hotels nearby would have been insane.
Oh, no way. We couldn't have done that.
We haven't booked for Unplugged yet this year, and I'm...
we're trying to figure out what to
do. I have very mixed feelings.
Yeah.
We should go ahead and Airbnb now. Yeah. Like, Ryan, go ahead. We'll find the dates, and we'll do it.
That's what we'll do.
What I want to do is rent a big house and get a whole bunch of people to stay in it, because at least that way...
That's true.
That's a great idea. I mean,
ain't nobody going to take us all down, yo.
Right. That's funny.
We'll beat them to death with our Gloomhavens.
Yeah, we need to make a list of people we think are cool, and we'll do that.
Also, you know, we'll try to do it maybe with other people who have children.
And therefore
come back to the house at a reasonable hour, and then we could just play games then.
Yes. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys go to Origins next year, let us know, and we'll try to plan that. That would actually be fun.
That would be super cool.
I think what I would say, something that we learned, is that there are three of us. There's Aaron, myself, and Rick. We are not able to cover a show like Origins and do everything we want to do and still have a good time. You know, we can do our best, but we can't do it very well. And so I think next year, one of the things that we're going to do is find a way to get some other people working with us to capture video so that somebody can be capturing video while we're demoing something. Mm-hmm. We can be interviewing people while somebody else is taking B-roll. We can have somebody off interviewing somebody while we're actually buying games. You know, so I think that dividing and conquering is going to be something that we learned this year that we're going to take into next year, actually having somebody dedicated to the video aspect of it. Because honestly, what we did was we took, it was rigged up pretty sadly. We had some borrowed microphones rigged up to a decent camera, and we just did the best we could between our cell phones, that camera setup, and the interviews that we had scheduled. We scheduled them a couple weeks out, and I think it was fine, but I really wish it was, I wish we had a better way to tackle it. Because I think Saturday, I think I said to Rick, I was like, Rick, I really need you to just capture some B-roll of people walking and people playing games. And because we're going to need this throughout the year, we're going into Origins next year, or making a recap video. And that's stuff that we really didn't have time for. So I think that's what I took away.
What about you, Erin? Moms always have the best advice.
Yeah, I was just thinking through what I wanted to say. Like I said, I enjoyed and appreciated just the basic demeanor of people and how welcoming they were and friendly and everything. But I will say this, on a personal level and on a mom level, especially if you're bringing your kids, I would say to pace yourself. Rick and Ryan love to be around people and they get a lot of energy from people, but I get very drained from being around a lot of people, and you are interacting a lot when you're demoing games, you're talking to people beside you, you're interviewing people. And I think one day, Friday, we were there at the convention center for 14 and a half hours. And it was a lot and it was fun, but at the same time, I think it would have been smart, especially if I would have had the kids with me, because, you know, that they tire out easily and, you know, that kind of interaction kind of drained me. So I think just pace yourself, take a minute to take a break, just clear your head or whatever before you get back into it, just so that you'll last longer and you'll get more out of it and it won't drain you so much.
You are.
I was going to say, did you listen to our post, PAX Unplugged, like thoughts about the show?
Oh, because nice.
That's pretty much exactly what, you know.
We tried to do the media thing and the parent thing simultaneously.
Yeah.
Which, you want to talk about draining.
Yes.
That was kind of draining. And yet we enjoyed it enough that we're going to do it again this year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So we, and Anitra is a lot like you in that she gets drained from interacting with people, and so she was the one, and I felt a little bad about this, but I think it really did work out for the best, who would take the kids on the breaks.
Right, yeah.
Because it also gave her a break.
Yes, for sure.
And I was like, that's fine, I'll run around like, you know, the Tasmanian devil for a while.
Exactly, yeah.
That's good. I try not to drool that much, though, so.
Well, that's good teamwork.
Yeah, it worked out in that way, but I agree with you, pacing is immensely important.
Yes.
And, you know, the other thing that for me, especially, you know, we've kind of joked about FOMO and stuff already. The biggest thing for me that allowed me to keep my sanity was remembering that I had a limited scope of stuff that I wanted to cover. Mm-hmm. And I also, unless something like really screamed at me, I don't buy things at conventions because I'll get them eventually if I really want them. And I think we left Unplugged with like 20 games for review anyway.
Wow,
if we were buying stuff on top of that, it would have been insane. But it allowed us to cut that small amount of time out of getting in line and waiting for games and these kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
Which gave us a little bit more opportunity either to have that free time that we needed to unwind a little bit, or travel time or break time or whatever it would be. But the fact that I knew, like, number one, if I don't care about RPGs for the sake of the site. Number two, if people are getting gored on your advertising material, I probably don't care about your game for my site, you know, and stuff like that. Really putting up those barriers to help me keep my scope as appropriate as it should be was really critical to keeping me focused and not turning every which way at every single thing that I saw and stuff like that.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that we, even though we had a list, I mean, the three of us worked on cultivating, like curating this list of we need to see this, 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 and this. I mean, even with having a list, it was overwhelming. I think what we'll do next time is almost rate things like this is what we need to see this day because this is the most important. Or this is, yes. You know, our interviews were easy to keep because we had them scheduled and mm-hmm. it was like at 3 o'clock, no matter what we were doing, we had to move on, you know. But when you're talking about the fact that there were three or four kids games that we didn't even walk past the booth somehow, like as many times as we walked past all of the booths, somehow we didn't see these games and they were on our list. And so I think we're going to have a better way of tackling these next year.
We actually pulled down a map of the show floor and for the stuff that we knew that we wanted to see and where our interviews were and all those kinds of things and drew them all out, which was immensely helpful.
Oh,
but that it is unbelievable how you walk down the same freaking aisle 17 times and you know that, I don't know, I'll just say like Arcane Wonders booth is right there and you know that they're the ones who make this game and yet somehow you do not see it.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens, but it really does.
And I think even though, like, to kind of balance that out, I do think, you know, we saw a lot of stuff because we kept our eyes open and wandered a little bit.
Right.
There were some things that, like Senshi, that was not on the list to pick up, but, you know, it was right by the front door, which is helpful. But there were some definite cool things that we saw. Like, I was insanely impressed with the Haba booth this year. Like, when I think Haba, I think of, like, younger kids' games. You know, Rhino Hero's cool, but, like, everything else seems really childish to me. But, I mean, there was a game called Ikwazu, which we kept trying to sit down and play, but every time we went by there, like, people were sitting down and playing it, so we never got to do any footage on it. But that one looked really amazing. And then while we were waiting, we did, was it Boom Loot Gold?
Boom Bang Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a really simple, like, silly game, but, I mean, I had fun with it. And seeing some games there, like, I would not have thought to stop by the Haba booth just because I have this picture in my mind. Probably, obviously now, it was unfair of it being too super childish, and I'm glad we kind of wandered by and got to check out some of that stuff.
Right. All right, well, we have done lots of talking about con stuff and specifically Origin stuff, and I know that I said at some point during the show that I didn't have, like, we weren't going to do a top whatever list, but...
Too bad, we're going to do it right now.
We're going to do it anyway. So just top two games from each of you that were at Origins this year. Why don't we do that? Top two. That's easy, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll probably pull that off.
I would have to go. I'll throw down both my two. I would say Reef. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed Reef. It's a simple game. It's very family friendly. I feel like it is an awesome opportunity to get multiple generations around the table because of the fun that it brings, but also there's some strategy to it. And so I would say Reef, and then second is Welcome To. I'm a big fan of Roll 'Em Rights. I love the 1950s art style. The art for this one drew me in, and that was actually one of the top games, one of my top games going into Origins, and it has not disappointed.
Yeah, I've been keeping my eye on that one. I am also a fan of Roll 'Em Rights.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to play it yet, Ryan?
Yeah, we actually finished. That's why we were 5 minutes late for the podcast.
we were trying to finish it. I see.
Yeah. I was like, when is this going to come? How am I going to break this to them that we were 5 minutes late? Actually, 8 minutes late because we were trying to squeeze this last game in.
I feel like it's a board game podcast, and so we get that.
Yeah. It's acceptable.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm going to piggyback on Ryan's because I want to have my own too, but also those two were amazing. I think Reef, I'll go ahead and say I like it better than Azul and Sagrada.
Really?
I like it a lot. And then Welcome To, I played a 10-player game with a bunch of other media members and had a great time with it. Just kind of... It, even in it, I don't know how often you find yourself in a game with like 12 people or something like that, but it allows for a lot of like banter, like while you're playing, which I think, you know, some games you're so concentrated on stuff that, you know, you never get to actually interact with the other people. You're so focused on your turn. But that game, you know, you just write something in and then like a few seconds later, you're able to start talking and stuff. I enjoyed that one.
Well, I think for me, Senshi would be the one that just kind of drew me in above all the others, just because, again, of the quick gameplay. And it's just a lot of fun. And I look forward to bringing it back so that our friends, especially the ones who aren't that into board gaming, yeah. Could have that kind of experience of, oh, this is what it's like. This is fun, which has already happened. So that was cool. I would definitely say that's one, that stuck with me. And then of course, Pioneer Days, we've played it a few times, since coming back from Origins and it's been great. So
yeah, that was one. It was, I think that one shocked me more than any of them because I had seen it. We actually tried to get a review copy at one point about a couple weeks ago, didn't get it. And I was like, wow, this is like a must-have TMG game.
It's funny because I told Ryan this too, like walking by the booth and everything. I didn't know anything about Pioneer Days before we went, but Ryan did. But just the art's good, but it's just not art that drew me in that would make me want to pick it up. So it really did surprise me, and it's really good. I like it.
The art reminds me a little bit of Colt Express.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
the same
it does.
Kind of Western kind of.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
All right. If I'm going with two, which I've already cheated and stolen Ryan's as well, but I think Spy Club was really cool.
Oh man,
I forgot about Spy Club. Yep.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
Publishes that game.
Renegade.
I'm
Renegade.
Renegade and Foxtrot.
And so.
Foxtrot.
And the way that Ryan kind of talked about it was that it is what he hoped Stuffed Fables would have been.
Yeah.
As far as a campaign game that you can play with your family, the mechanics are simple but challenging. Like when we first started playing on that opening campaign, I was like, we're gonna destroy this. But we were like down to the wire in our first little game, and so we were like, we had to have some legit teamwork. And you know, on cooperative games, you know, it's easy for a person to take over, especially in a family game. And of course, you know, we were three adults playing it, so it might work a little bit different, but I felt like all of us were contributing, all of us were involved. And, you know, we didn't get to see too much about how what we did in the first game would impact the second. But, you know, the way they were describing it, it sounds like it would be a really fun game to be able to sit down with your family and play a bunch of rounds, you know, over a few weeks and have a nice little campaign with your family. And it resets. It's a legacy game that you can play again. So I think that's really cool.
Hmm.
And then my other one, honorable mention to Caper, because the art was amazing. That's some of my favorite art that's ever existed. You guys should check that out. But my other one would be Subatomic, and that's from Genius Games. And I think it was a very good game. I told Ryan afterwards, we did a top five deck builders earlier in our podcast season, and I would have put this on there because it was a very good deck building game. But beyond that, to me, it was an educational game that's good.
Yeah.
Usually when you think of educational games, you're like, oh, this is going to be cheesy, and I'm going to play this and have to be learning while I'm doing stuff. And, you know, I think the gameplay was primary. The educational part was secondary. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very well-made deck builder that involves you putting together different particles in order to build into electrons, protons, and neutrons, which you then use as currency to buy the victory points, which are the different elements. And so you get points by buying the elements, and you have different things that you can do in your deck, and it's just a very well-balanced game. One thing that it does well, there's never a wasted card. You know, one of my least favorite things on deck builders is when you draw something and you're like, ah, dadgummit, like, I can't use this round. It has a mechanic in it to where there's never wasted cards. And I thought that was really well done. So that one was definitely sticking out to me. I really enjoyed being able to play that.
That's neat. That's Genius Games, right?
Yes. Yes.
Their whole shtick is that they make games where they are truly educational games, but they are also truly games that you would like to play.
Right. And it's not like a Candyland, like we're rolling dice and we're moving, like, oops, we're in the digestive system now. It's like, no, Subatomic is a deck builder game. I forget what the other one is, but there's one that's a worker placement game where you're going to the different organelles in a cell. But it's a worker placement game. It is not just like, oh, there's parts of a cell and you move to this one and then roll your dice and see if you won. Like, it's a legit game.
I think that one's...
I want to say Cytosis, but that doesn't sound right in my brain.
Well,
I'm Googling
now.
He's actually had a bunch.
Yeah, he's got... John Cavallo is the guy behind Genius Games, and he's got a pedigree of these. He's been doing this for a long time, right? So he did, like, Compounded or something like that, and Cytosis is a game that he did. He did Ion... Lots of science stuff. I think he's got like a degree in something fancy too. Like he's a legitimate, actually intelligent person.
I believe he has a doctorate degree.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, there
that's
you go.
What I meant. Yeah. He's smarter than us, is what I meant to say.
That's why it's called Genius Games.
Right. But I wanted to say, did you talk to him last year at PAX?
I did talk to him briefly at PAX Unplugged.
Cool.
Can I add to mine?
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally forgot about a game called Dragon Castle. Have you guys played it?
No.
Dragon Castle.
Oh, it was awesome.
Who's Simon?
Simon. That's what I thought. Simon. It was awesome. It was kind of like Mahjong.
Yeah.
Which I have never played, but that's what they kept saying, referring to Mahjong. Yeah. But it was a game of tiles, and you had to pick similar tiles and place them strategically on your board to gain points. And the higher your tiles, the more the points were worth. And it was great. I loved it.
Yeah,
really good game. Really good game. I will definitely purchase that sometime in the future. It's a little expensive. It's about $50, so we had to refrain this time. But it was a great game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at pictures of it. It looks just like Mahjong.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I looked, and I think I ended up playing 26 new games while we were there.
Holy cow. You were there for 3 days?
Yeah, for 3 days.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot.
And, you know, that is, you know, in the way that Erin talked about, like, you know, she has to take breaks and stuff like that, I am actually the opposite. It kind of winds me up to be learning stuff. And shoot, when we hit 11:30, that was when I started getting going. Because I'm wired backwards. But like, those were some of the games we enjoyed. I don't want anybody to think that we played only great games. I definitely played some stinkers. There were some out there that weren't great. But you know, it was cool to see people that, you know, publishers, independent people, like everybody is kind of on the same level. There were people there that have been making games forever. There are people there that this is their first game, but they're all in booths right next to each other. And, you know, you can give, you know, attention to who's there. It kind of depends on, you know, your game gets a chance to speak for itself. And, you know, obviously there's some money involved in getting a booth and some advertising and stuff here and there. But yeah, I mean, you can get the attention of people while you're there. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Awesome. Well, that's a lot of origin stuff.
Yeah.
Here's hoping you're overwhelmed.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is pretty much going to do it for us this week. Is there anything you guys would like to add?
Hey, we're just thankful. Like, we really appreciate the way that you, obviously there are people in this industry that have come and done things better than the next person and kind of paved a way for a lot of different things. We are grateful that, you know, we're one board family. We started this because we are passionate about board games like you guys are. But at the time when we started this, we didn't know you guys existed. And since getting to know you guys and seeing the content you guys put out and the way that you guys, let the kids speak about this hobby on the podcast and through the site, we are grateful to be able to do stuff like this with you guys. I just want to say thank you. I was being honest when I said at your 100th episode, like, you guys are awesome. And so thank you for doing all that you do for the hobby. And 101 episodes in, we really are grateful for you guys.
Oh, well, thanks. That's really nice. And I mean, we are thankful for you guys as well. It's a lot of fun to do this, and to know that it's not a market that's so saturated that, you know, we don't have to be antagonistic to each other.
Yeah,
we
can
support each other and be friendly, and
we don't. Oh man, I gotta take down that hate board, that hate website I have.
Yeah,
that's Rick, fine. You know, Rick, you can do that down. If you want to. You can be wrong. It's okay. No,
all kinds of hobbies.
So, but,
I talk all kinds of smack.
But it's fun. I mean. It's good. It's awesome, and I love talking to you guys about this stuff, and you guys are going to have access to stuff that we're not going to have access to, and we're going to have access to stuff you're not going to, and, you know, sharing the stuff across you guys and us, and then our respective communities and all those things. It's just a blast. It's just a ton of fun to do it, and I really do honestly hope that we figure out a way to get together, whether it's at Origins next year or some other thing or whatever, who knows, but that would be really pretty awesome. Where can people find us online?
Well, of course you can find us on our website, thefamilygamers.com.
That's probably the easiest one to remember.
I would hope so.
And you can find us on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram,
@FamilyGamersAA.
You know what we absolutely have to make sure that everybody knows about, including the three of you, is this giveaway that we're doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
We're giving away, we have three prize packs.
That's
that we kicked off the giveaway last week on our episode 100 show, and they're kind of themed prize packs, I guess. We have one for just like playing games with your kids. We have like a strategy one. We have like a prize pack of, I guess, like outdoor games. I don't remember what you called outdoorsy games.
I called it play outdoors.
Right. So head on over to thefamilygamers.com. There is a post right there on the homepage, or you can go to our Facebook page or to our community, which you can find at thefamilygamers.com/community. All of the places online, you can find a link to the giveaway.
Yes.
And this is a standard Rafflecopter, you know, tweet on Twitter, and there's one thing where you have to actually do some work, where you have to go to our website and find the answer to a question and put it in, and that gives you like as many entries as all of the other things combined. So it's worth it. It's worth the work. Definitely head over there and check those out. And you guys, even though you're on episode 101, you can win too.
Great.
So
sweet.
Please don't forget to subscribe to the show. Tell your friends about the show, and if you would be so inclined, leave us a rating or a review or both wherever you subscribe to podcasts.
We would like to thank our sponsor for this year of the Family Gamers podcast. We are sponsored by Wild East Games. You can go to wildeastgames.com or find them on all of the social medias at Wild East Games to check out the stuff that they have made.
The Family Gamers podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network.
So are there any last words you guys would like to leave our listeners with?
Just keep gaming. This is an awesome hobby, and the games that are coming out now are just incredible.
So from all of us to all of you,
play games with your kids.